following is a digital media production.
What up, y'all? It's your voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad in here. Yeah. I'm in here tearing shit up all by myself. I done took over, went solo, you know what I'm saying? Listen to my new show right here. It's In the Conversation by myself. Holla.
Time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir Camayo, my cool man from the county of D, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, and we're back. You are now in the conversation. And as you can see, this is the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad in the building. Ain't no left-hand side, ain't no right-hand side. I'm just here, home alone, like a badass child, running wild. But, you know what I'm saying, it wouldn't be a conversation if it was just me. I don't want to sit here and monologue, so I brought in the homie, L. Clay's in the building.
Hello, hello, hello.
And of course, we got my man Chris over there.
Hey, Ali.
Yeah. So it's going down this week in the conversation. What's up, L?
What's going on?
Everything's good.
Yeah, I'm happy to.
Welcome back.
Thank you. The return of Air Auntie.
Air Auntie is back. You were very popular on the feedback.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys, listeners out there. I mean, really, it's funny that afterwards the name really took flight.
Mm.
Very cheeky. really took off and, you know, has its own momentum now.
Air Auntie?
Yeah. Well,
tell us about it.
I have a pair of these like Nike slip-ons that I was wearing last time I was here. And, you know, in my mind, I'm a Nike athlete because I played basketball growing up and I'm a brand loyalist. And so I decided that this shoe would be my personal shoe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've taken this shoe and it's the Air Auntie. It's my shoe. It's a white Nike slip-on. It looks like a Van, like a Van slip-on, but it's all white. Bevy said it looked like a nursing shoe.
Yeah,
you think
yeah.
so?
Something like that. All you need is that white polish that you kind of the liquid polish that you just put on to keep it white.
And it's so funny because it's the cheapest sneaker I have purchased for myself in like I don't know in years to go from like you know being like Jordans and Air Max to finding like literally it's the if I would have picked this shoe when I was 12, my mother would have been in heaven.
Right.
You know, so.
So now, Air Auntie has taken flight.
The Air Auntie has taken flight. I'm going to have my own campaign. I'm going to do my own commercials.
Burn.
You can check me, you know, on the snap for the exclusive Air Auntie. It's like, it's going to be like Air Jordan with Spike Lee. Ali probably going to be the one that make it. So.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to be the one to shoot the motherfucker now.
So there you go. Take flight.
So I'll be the new Spike, huh?
Yeah, you're going to be the new
Sitting
Spike.
Sitting over the Mars Blackman.
Is it the shoe?
No doubt. No doubt. So what's happening out here in these streets this week?
Oh, there's so many things happening in the street.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but really, you know, if you're talking about the conversation, I mean, nobody really took over the conversation like Beyonce did. I mean, she basically stole the whole conversation.
Listeners, I'm standing in formation. I am in formation.
It's crazy. This was the biggest sporting event of American sports, you know, arguably worldwide.
Yeah.
But Beyonce took over the whole conversation.
Oh, she absolutely 100% did.
Yeah,
she like broke the internet one on Saturday.
So Saturday she releases Formation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Drops it out there. You know, here, take this. I'm going to leave this right here. You know what I'm saying? New video. You know what I'm saying? Very provocative with the imagery.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of things you usually don't see from Beyonce.
And I couldn't be more overjoyed about it. I mean, it's also things that are just like the same thing she appears to be, you know, black and Creole and Southern.
Right,
so
right.
It's like, you know, just magnified.
And she, you know, she went black with this, you know, campaign. This campaign is very, very black.
Hashtag very black.
unapologetically. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She's in there, you know, of course, doing her dances, but, you know, she got hot sauce in her purse.
Swag.
I think that, I mean, once people heard that, it was over.
Oh, I mean, because that's a real thing. They have like a, I mean, she probably got like, what kind of hot sauce you think she got? I'm more of a Frank's Red Hot.
I'm basic hot sauce motherfucker.
Like Texas Pete? Like, what do you get? Crystal?
What's the, just the red Tabasco?
That's not really hot sauce.
But I ain't really a hot sauce person.
Ugh, I don't like it anymore. People who like Tabasco.
Yeah, I get my black card revoked.
Probably.
On my own show.
Watch the feedback you get for liking Tabasco.
I don't like that.
Do you like spicy food?
Not really. See, I don't like hot sauce, period. Okay. I don't like the taste of hot sauce.
Do you like sriracha?
No.
Okay, good.
The fuck?
Because if you say you like sriracha, that would be even worse.
Nah. I'm basic black. I like ranch.
But this, you know, okay, you have two condiments of choice as a black person. You get ranch or hot sauce.
I'm a ranch. I'm on the cool side.
Okay, good. All right. It's the heat or it's the cool?
No doubt.
All right.
I'm on the ranch side.
Now you get your
card
back. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Right. But so, you know, she put that out, broke the internet, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even in the Beyonce stratosphere and my phone was blowing up. Did you see the Beyonce video?
Yeah.
All Saturday.
You're a filmmaker, though, so I think people are like, you know, what's your response?
Right. But I think culturally, she just, you know what I'm saying, she affects the culture so hard that it just transcends, you know what I'm saying, just a typical audience. You know, just these are my fans and this is what happens. She goes out and, like you say, she breaks the internet.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I was at a bar for my friend's birthday and I was, you know, probably a few drinks in, so I wasn't really paying attention to like social media and my phone. And then by the time I got home, it was like, you know, Twitter is where I get my news. So it's like all this whole very much trending. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, with the visual and then to top that off, it's like the performance the next day.
Well, that's a whole another part of the conversation. It's like, okay, it's one thing to drop a song on Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole nother thing to have the audacity to take that hood boogie song and perform it at the biggest TV event of the year the next day like everybody's supposed to know it. But everybody did know it.
I mean, everybody did know it because...
That's the whole thing. It's like, damn.
Well, let's talk about what she did in between. She sat on the sidelines at the Oklahoma City Thunder and Warriors game with sunglasses on like she didn't do anything.
That's what, Saturday night?
Yeah, she was just chilling with her legs crossed eating popcorn. And then it was like, oh, I just dropped that real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that right there for y'all.
Y'all can have that.
And so overnight, everybody obsessed over it.
Mm-hmm.
Learned the words.
Learned the dance.
Learned the dances.
Got information.
And then the next night, Coldplay comes on, Super Bowl. They out. They come do their thing. You know what I'm saying? And then they drop the Beyonce and she's doing formation.
I mean,
I posted on Twitter, which probably I haven't posted on Twitter in so damn long. And that was, I got more burn on that one tweet than I've gotten in the last 2 years.
Ooh,
on any
tweet. What was it?
All I said was, this has to be history to drop a song on a Saturday and perform it at the Super Bowl on a Sunday. I don't think that's been done before. I don't think the bandwidth has been there for that to happen.
Listen, when you, that's called like Creole superpowers.
that trumps black girl magic, huh?
Creole superpower, voodoo. I mean, like, I think I was like, voodoo done to me watching the video. like you watch it and then it's like, whew. You like walk away and you're, something happened to you. It changed after the video.
Mm. So that's the speculation report.
Voodoo.
It's the voodoo.
I stood up. I started dancing. I got in formation. I mean, like, that's the power.
I just think that people don't expect, you know what I'm saying, once you get to a certain level, people don't expect the authentic experience a lot of times. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? That's why a lot of people were upset. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That, wow, you know, she got this black ass doing this black ass record during the Super Bowl.
Oh, I mean, it was black as hell. She had her backup dance. She had 50 black women 50 brown-skinned black women dressed like Black Panthers with drawers on.
Semi-Black Panthers. That's what I was about to say.
They had on black berets and like leather jackets and like black drawers.
And drawers. That's what I was asking. They were dressed as Black Panthers. I was like, not really.
From the waist up. They're giving you.
The afro. Yeah. Black Panthers didn't run around in their drawers, leather drawers.
It was like Michael Jackson with an army of like 50 Black Panthers. Because she had on the Michael Jackson. She paid tribute to Michael Jackson with the jacket.
That was dope.
And it was, you know, they named the X Formation.
Malcolm X.
Malcolm X. Black Happy Black History
She had
Month.
A whole Black History Month, you know what I'm saying, exhibit going on.
She did.
But people mad.
Oh, they're very mad.
Why are they mad?
They're mad because it was so black. Like, you know, it was in your face. It was, like you said, it was unapologetic. And I think also people don't expect to be kind of fed this political statement during the halftime of their beloved Super Bowl.
It wasn't that political. It was really, I mean.
Oh, Rudy Giuliani said it was an attack on the police.
That's Rudy Giuliani. Is an idiot.
True.
Because nothing in that performance or that song said anything about the police.
It didn't. The video.
He got third party ass information. Uh-huh. Talking about shit he don't even motherfucking know. The song didn't say nothing about police at all.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So Rudy is off his rocker. He getting old, man.
Yeah.
Getting old. Trying to stay in the limelight.
I mean, if anybody should be mad, it should be like, the Super Bowl's like corporate sponsors, like we mad that the like Red Lobster was mentioned and like they didn't have a commercial. You know, it's like a free commercial for Red Lobster in the middle of the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl halftime sponsor is Pepsi, which is Beyonce's, you know what I'm saying, sponsor. So yeah. Shit, they love it.
They love it.
True. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Bozeman who did the initial Pepsi Beyonce deal back in the day. When they first did the Pepsi deal.
When she was crazy in love.
Okay. And you know what I'm saying, to come right back with the Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying, she was kind of like celebrating on the sidelines that, you know, the Beyonce thing was going over so big. So
congratulations.
Shouts out.
I mean, it actually like showed a titty. You know, we've seen that happen.
Yeah, then they would have tarred and feathered if she had showed a titty.
Well, maybe they would have been happy.
No, they crucified. They crucified old Janet for the titty.
Oh my goodness! And Justin Timberlake was like,
He skated off.
He left us black folks in the dust.
He the one ripped the titty open.
He left the black folks in the dust.
If anything, it should have been like an assault and battery on Justin Timberlake. He the one ripped the titty out.
He sure did. And then Beyonce sang the national anthem that year, and people don't remember because they just remember the titty. So she had to come back and like, you know, but
Reclaim the spot. Wow. Chris, what did you think of that performance?
I got to be honest. I didn't like when it was actually happening. I was probably not paying attention too much to the middle. But, then I like saw the controversy the next day about it. And I wasn't surprised that people were upset about it. But that type of stuff doesn't bother me. I mean, I'm happy to see her do something cool. You know,
no doubt. And that is the official opinion of the white man. But in that video, like the whole performance with Bruno Mars when they was doing the battle and shit, I thought that was real cool. But there was a moment in that when she first got to the stage where James Brown breakbeat came in to give it up, Turn It Loose, Jungle Remix break came in, and that has to be the blackest beat in all of music. Like, there's, like, when you hear that beat, we'll put it up on the Facebook, but when you hear that beat, there's no other imagery that could come into your mind except for blackness.
Blackness.
And, it, like, you know, James Brown was as black as they come.
Oh, beyond. You know, yeah, he was a man with a perm.
And this was his this was his blackest beat. It's like Congos and this shit is
Motherland black.
And they played that as like the bridge in between like whatever dance segment and then the Crazy in Love when they brought that little part in.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, this is revolutionary.
So the plot thickens, it got blacker. I didn't even notice that. So
yeah, but you know, I got the
music buff.
Yeah, I got my black dar. You know what I'm saying? And I know.
I can detect all sounds of blackness.
Especially in a mainstream environment. Like, yeah. You're like, hold up. Hold up. That's not supposed to be there, but it's there. And it's like, whoa, they went there.
What do you think inspired her to do that? Obviously, it's like a pretty good time politically. There's a lot of like race stuff going on. Like, what do you think is her thinking if you have to speculate about it?
Well, I think Beyonce, every album she comes out with, she always has a real hood single. Always. I mean, either it's like something they leak out or and turns official, or it's just, you know, the official like Soldier, or like on the last one, it was the one that Hit-Boy did when she was all dressed up like the Queen of England or some shit. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, bow down, bitches.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? She always comes with the hood song, and then she always has certain songs that has very hood sensibilities in it. And she leads with those, and then she'll go into her pop stuff and all that other shit. I think this time is when she, you know, figure, okay, what's my hood song going to be? You living in a time right now where it's, you know, a lot of things are happening on the black side of the programming, and it's very hard to ignore. You know what I'm saying? So when she dropped the last record, 2014 or some shit like that?
The one she just dropped.
Yeah, that was 2014, yeah. Going into 15.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she hasn't really dropped nothing except for maybe 7-Eleven since then, and that was a hood boogie type of record about 7-Eleven drinking slurpees and shit. So she was like, okay, I'm going to take my hood boogie song to a whole nother level. And really, the song didn't really go there. It was the video, the visuals. So in dropping and making the visuals, you know, they probably sat in the room like, ooh, that's dope. That's what we should do. You know what I'm saying? Come out with it. You know what I mean? And I thought they did it. I thought it was very creative the way they put it together. You know what I'm saying? Spoke on Katrina stuff, her New Orleans heritage that she talked about in the song. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to speak in New Orleans, what better statement to make than Katrina? You know what I'm saying? I like how they had the little kid dancing in front of the police and the police having their hands up. That was dope. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not like what Giuliani says, like threatening the police. It's not threatening. That wasn't even threatening. I thought that was almost cute.
He bust the move,
and they, you know what I'm saying?
The officer's respect.
And it was similar to some of these videos that's going around with where you see an officer that might jump in a dance battle. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of like reminiscent of that. But they're bugging out because the graffiti on the wall says stop shooting us.
Stop killing us, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, us is everybody.
True.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It didn't say stop shooting black people. We attacking you, Mr. Officer. So
I also think it's the thing surrounding it. Like now they're, you know, coming out and they're donating to Black Lives Matter. And it's a culmination of everything at once. That, you know, if that now they're in support or behind Black Lives Matter. And I think when you do that and drop the visual, it's kind of like, well, maybe, you know, she's for, you know, attacking the police. But then they're like, oh, well, she got out a police escort to the stadium.
No shit. But she never,
she's a hypocrite.
That wasn't even, she never even said she was against the police.
Yeah.
They talk about the police car that's sinking in the middle of the water with her sitting on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, she sinks with it though.
Yeah.
She didn't
shoot it and, you know, like, knock it off a cliff.
It's not like she sank the car and rolled off on a boat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She it was pretty much a statement of, you know what I'm saying, if we don't get this right, we are going down.
We all going under.
So, you know what I'm saying? So I don't, you know. But again, I'm black. So somebody said, you know what I'm saying, if you have, it was some black commentator, someone, some Fox News type of person said, you know, you have them come out here in Black Panther outfits. What would you think if you know, a white group came out with Klan outfits? Like, what? That's not even a parallel.
That's because the Panthers didn't, and that's what's so.
Nobody ran through white neighborhoods, burning white people houses down and dragging them out and tar and feathering them, hanging them from a tree. Nobody did. That didn't ever happen.
People are so misinformed, and that's really where it's sad too. You know, it's like the Black Panthers, they just, it encouraged black people to stick up for themselves. But also it's like, you know, they fed people breakfast, children breakfast. So people just misinformed because you see, oh, the black leather jacket, the black beret, and guns. But it's like, okay, it's your right to carry supposedly is your right to carry a firearm openly or whatever if you have proper licensing. Right. So,
and at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? The powers that be, they ain't giving a fuck about y'all dressing up like no Black Panthers. That shit was so short-lived. They squashed it in the ground so quick. You know what I'm saying? Right now, all it is an image and a look. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But that's not to take away from the real things that they did on the ground.
Yeah.
But on the grand scheme of things, it's, you know what I mean? It's something that we could look at and say, hey, we could do something different. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, it's not a threat to nobody's power. You know what I'm saying? It's just an image that we could look at and be empowered from, which, yeah. You know well, what I'm saying, makes the system better.
The threat to power is encouraging people to empower themselves.
Hmm.
So I think that's where you are. It's like, we don't want to learn a slave to learn how to read. You know, it's like that kind of thinking. If you tell somebody, encourage people, then they might want more. Want more than what you're, the scraps that you're giving them.
And
that's the threat.
That shouldn't be a threat.
It shouldn't be.
Because we reading now.
And we going to Red Lobster.
And we going to Red Lobster.
We taking our men. Women, we taking our men. Well, not men. To Red Lobster.
Speaking of which, Valentine's Day is coming up.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Which, you got any plans? Any Valentine's Day extravaganzas going on?
Fuck Valentine's Day. Oh, no. I don't really feel... I mean, I think Valentine's Day, of course, is... You know, I'm kind of a free-thinking... I try to be a free-thinking, non-subscribing to corporate-created holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't... I think my boo's going to be out of town. So, I mean, I'll just be at home.
Mm. Cold side of the bed.
Or maybe I'll do like a social experiment, like go out alone,
mm-hmm.
and like eat dinner by myself and see how people react to me.
That would suck because you'd have to wait in a long ass line.
No, I wouldn't. I'm gonna make a reservation for one.
Oh,
the fuck,
oh. Chris, what you got going?
We're actually gonna be up in the me and my fiance now. We're gonna be
Chris
up in the...
is a newly fiancéed fiance.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. We're gonna be up in the Poconos. My friend's birthday weekend. His girlfriend set up a whole thing, so
no doubt
we'll be up there. Yeah.
For those around the world who listen to the podcast, the Poconos is a area in the mountains of Pennsylvania, not too far from the New York border.
Thank you. Yes, I apologize. Yeah, you can ski and snowboard and, you know, hang out. It's fun.
Peak whiteness.
Peak whiteness. What about you, Mr. Muhammad?
We don't typically celebrate Valentine's Day because our anniversary is next week on the 22nd.
Okay.
But, you know, interestingly enough, I did, I guess, propose to my wife. I asked my wife to marry me on Valentine's Day.
Oh. Was it like a public proposal?
Hell no. My shit was like a Jagged Edge type of scenario. We ain't getting no young, might as well do this now.
Come on. Like
shit. Like, what the fuck are we doing? We pregnant? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't going nowhere. I don't think you going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? We should just go do it.
You so romantic.
And then she said, what you mean? I was like, shit, let's just do it. How? Fuck, we go to Quails. This shit open tomorrow? We can go do this shit. And she was like, okay. But then we realized you couldn't just go. You had to get a license and all that shit. So it took a week. And
you got married here?
Yeah, I got married in New York, in the city hall.
Did you dress up?
No. I put on some slacks and a sweater and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I ain't put on no suit. It was
like an iceberg sweater. Did you get fancy?
Nah, it wasn't fancy. I had to fucking go to work afterwards.
What? That's no fun.
Nah, it was cool. She came to work with me. We went to breakfast.
That's romantic. And
we laid up in the vibe.
Ooh.
We had vibe right after we got married.
Oh wow!
But then we went to Jamaica.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
It gets better.
But like I said, I didn't put all that on it. You know what I'm saying? I'm more practical about the shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? We ain't got to make no big scene to do what we going to do anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to do something on one of these anniversaries. So I'm going to do something big.
Ooh.
When we get to 20, I'm going to do a big blowout.
So how long have you been married now?
16.
Oh, wow.
This is 16.
And for those of you who don't know, Mr. Muhammad looks about 16.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Not really, but thank you. I'll take that. Nah, but you know, I felt like, you know, let's just do it. Like, ain't nothing to it. You ain't got nothing to lose, really.
Yeah, okay. You know what I'm
saying? We already sharing some DNA. Got these genetics growing inside you.
Might as well make the jump.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've kind of taken talked to a few friends about Valentine's Day, and it's like, you know, pretty much people are like, I'm not doing anything. Maybe dinner, you know. Right. But the kind of over the top gifts, it's like, you know, show love every day. I think it's what is the consensus I'm getting.
True, true.
But it's also funny to see, like, you know, in social media, the whole, like, spending Valentine's Day alone. Like, you know.
That's a thing?
Oh, my goodness. It's just, like, a making fun of the fact that you're going to be spending Valentine's Day alone. You know?
Spending it with your phone.
Yeah, spending it with your phone. Or if you're me, spending it at a candlelit dinner by yourself.
What's a hashtag for that so we can follow along? We need a hashtag.
Oh, but Valentine's Day by yourself. I'm sure, like, by Sunday, there will be one.
You know what I'm saying?
Or by Saturday, there definitely will be one with, you know, with New York from I Love New York sitting in the bed with the sunglasses on. Everybody out with their Valentine. Meanwhile, I'm sitting like this, you know.
I should just show up at everybody's Valentine's alone. And what up?
You ain't
we here. You in the conversation.
Well, somebody should just walk around with roses and give them out to women who are by themselves.
Yeah, that's too creepy.
Yeah. There's a guy who has a table set up in one of the subway stations, and it's like, you can, like, have a date. Like,
yeah, I've seen
you
him
saw
before.
That guy?
Yeah, I've seen him before.
So?
A date with him.
It's like this a date, you know, air quotes date, but it's just a conversation, because you never know. Some people just need to talk.
Y'all crazy.
Not me. I mean, I have circumstances that it's going to prevent me, you know, from being with my loved one.
My boo. Well, you know, it's all good. You know that, you know, yours is coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people don't have them at all.
You know what I'm saying? Better to have love and to not have them there than to never have love at all.
And this is like peak cuffing season.
This is peak cuffing season. So, wow.
Yeah.
You remember your first cuff?
Do I remember my first cuff? I mean, real talk, this is... I mean, I never thought about cuffing season as an actual gearing up. You know, like, people prepare for winter and, like, make preserves and salt, cure meat and stuff. Like, I didn't get ready, like, you know, get svelte after... You know, get ready to be booed up in the cold months after whoring all summer long.
Right.
So, you know.
I'm from Miami, so it was no such thing as cuffing season. All seasons was, you know, fucking seasons.
Oh, my goodness.
Just hot.
Just hot.
Just hot Miami heat. But, you know what I'm saying? It's just weird when you go from being, you know, just a wild single person to somebody who's laid up, you know what I mean? Like I said, in Miami, ain't no real season where you just lay up.
Yeah.
Because it's cold outside. Yeah. You don't feel like going nowhere. But, you know, when you get to New York and you do it, it's like, wow, this is a real thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we ain't really trying to go nowhere.
Oh, not at all.
You know what I'm saying? It's kick back. Back then, it was go to Blockbusters. Go pick two movies from Blockbusters.
Oh, my
and shit.
God.
The original binge watch.
Don't forget to rewind.
Don't forget to
be
rewind.
Be kind and rewind.
Go get two movies from Blockbusters and cook up some shit.
Blockbuster and cook. Netflix and chill. Oh,
my God. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was good times. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to come through with the videos and, like, a can of tomato sauce. And we're about to make this pasta and,
you know,
like, watch Boomerang.
Yes.
It sounds good to me.
Yes. All the good movies are already gone and shit. You waiting on somebody to return.
Oh, that was I forgot about that.
Yeah.
We had to look behind. You know, I was like, how old was I? Like 10.
Yeah.
Going with my mama. So, like, you rush in and you move the case and it's not there. It's fuck.
It's not there.
And then you ask her, is it here and it hasn't been put back on the floor? Like, what's the given?
Mm-hmm.
But now,
get your shit and it ain't rewound.
They charge you a fee, huh? or something like that.
If you don't rewind it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, but sometimes it slipped through the cracks and you get one that's not rewound and you fucking got to rewind the shit. And it's like a 5 minute.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Trying to rewind. That's the old cuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I, speaking of cuffing and being in relationships, I have a new outlook on life, and I stopped giving gifts to people, like actual things. I
guess you stopped giving gifts to your other or to anyone?
To anyone in my life, really.
Why is that?
Because I give experiences now. People have enough shit.
Do they?
They do. It's like you can only give your daddy so many ties on Father's Day. Mm-hmm. You can only give your boo. And, you know, flowers die. All these kinds of things. Like now, I really want to give people that I love, my loved ones, experiences.
Okay. All right. One, how did you come with up with this conclusion?
Duh, being broke as fuck. What do you mean?
All right. There, and then there's that.
There's being that, but also, too, it really makes you think about what's important. Mm-hmm. You know, a good friend of mine takes me to concerts. That's what he does for me. It's like my birthday present.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, you know, cheapy type things, but it also is things like, I have nieces and nephews,
mm-hmm.
so they have enough sneakers and things that they grow out of in 2 months. So instead of that, I take them places, or I, you know, show them how to, you know, take photos or whatever, like stuff like that, mm-hmm. where things that kind of enhance their outlook and inspire them to maybe do something else, mm-hmm. you know.
So what
inspire
do you,
their growth.
What do you give the person who has it all, who has all the experiences?
No one has all the experiences.
So what would you give to a Vashti who's all over the place, everywhere, all the time, with everybody?
Well, for Christmas, I gave her a book, actually.
Oh.
So, I mean, that kind of stuff, but, mm-hmm. like, not, like, you know, really. I don't know, she's very stressed because mm-hmm. she's always working.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably give her a gift card to a spa.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's go, lounge, maybe get a massage, a facial, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can decompress
mm-hmm.
somebody who's a high-stress person.
Right.
Yeah, you think about, you know, think about what that person needs. She likes to drink juice.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a gift card to a juice place she goes to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things.
Okay. So when it comes time for the boo to get the gift.
Well, I just had the greatest, my birthday was in January.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend took me flying. Like, we.
Oh, that's why you was out there flying and shit?
Yeah. That was my birthday present.
Nice.
I mean, it was a great gift. And I'm terrified. It's supposed to be a surprise. And then I think we were discussing fears. And I was like, oh, I don't like to fly. Even though I fly all the time, it's something that I have to truly prepare myself to mm-hmm. do. And she was like, oh, shit, that's your birthday present. You know, we're going to go to Long Island and get in a tiny-ass plane. And you're going to fly.
And she brought to life Air Auntie for real.
She really had me taking flight.
Now, do you think that women in a woman-to-woman relationship
yes.
are more in tune with those types of things than
what, like
male-to-female relationships?
No, I think being thoughtful is being thoughtful. I don't think it's relegated to same-sex relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my homegirl took her homeboy to took her boyfriend to see the Knicks play. Or, you know, you take your girlfriend to see a concert she likes. I just think being thoughtful, you know, anybody can be thoughtful.
You hear that, people? Anybody can be thoughtful.
Anyone. And everyone should be.
No doubt.
I mean, I really feel like thinking about when you're getting a gift, whether it be something somebody can wear, touch, whatever, or considering an experience, I think you should really think about what that person likes to do. Because I've had people take me to restaurants they like for my birthday. So, you know, that kind of, you know. My best friend, he wanted to go to Polo Bar, mm-hmm. the new Polo Bar restaurant, Ralph Lauren's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me there for my birthday when I'm like, this is not for me. We're like sitting there enjoying dinner. I'm like, this is not for me. And he like just admire. I'm like, this is when you could get in here. But I appreciated it. I ate like a $30 hamburger and drank out of polo glasses.
No doubt.
You know,
no doubt.
It was fun.
No doubt. What you watching nowadays?
I am watching that web series you made me watch, Respect Life.
Oh, Respect Life. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh my God, I lost so many hours.
Hood Boogie.
Because it's like in my neighborhood. So I was like, oh my God, I want to be an extra. I just want to be like walking on the streets, like in the background. When in like the shooting scenes with no like actual fire comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite.
The John Wayne gun sounds.
Pew, pew, oh my pew. Goodness. It is the funniest thing ever.
But I like it.
I like it. I like that people, after creating content, I like when people just, anyone creates anything. Mm-hmm. You know, if you make it, it takes courage to make anything and put it out. So, you know, I kind of salute that, but it's also it's the fact that it's in my neighborhood that makes it that interesting.
No doubt. I just think, you know.
And the perspective. I like a hood perspective.
I think, you know, once you put it together, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's going to, if you ain't got no budget, it's going to have some holes in it. But whatever, you know what I'm saying? That's what imagination is for. You know the fire's supposed to be coming out the gun right there.
Oh, so good.
You know, I mean, it's just like saying, I'm a blast on you, blah, 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 blah. Like when somebody rap it, you don't have to see fire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's the same concept.
Yeah.
You know, but they do be shooting up the block with nothing coming out
with
the gun.
With nothing. People just fall down, no blood, no hole. It's just, rolling around. It's the funniest thing ever.
Respect Life.
Yes, it's really good.
Yeah, so that's cool.
What are you into?
What am I mean, you know, I can't really talk about what I'm watching because I'm still on the Game of Thrones, and everybody who's been in the conversation knows that I've been watching the Game of Thrones.
Oh, I don't really get down with Game of Thrones.
Wow.
I don't watch nothing where there's not a possibility of black people being. Well, and I know there was a black guy.
No,
it was
ain't
a black,
no black
guy.
People.
It was one black guy on there, but he had like
no.
He had a Caesar. So I couldn't like get past the fact that he had like waves in his hair. Like
no, I mean, you can't watch it for the black people.
I know. That's not. That's how I'm a biased.
Black people don't exist in this community.
I know, but like dragons that talk and stuff do. So I'm like, nah.
No, the dragons don't talk.
Somebody was talking that wasn't human.
Who talked that?
I don't know.
Dragons don't talk.
Okay.
No, only humans talk.
But I also like saying that I also like watch Mad Men, and they didn't get a black person other than the nanny on there for years. So.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? If you watch any kind of mainstream TV, you're going to realize that there's not a lot of black people. That's why the Oscars are so white. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why I don't watch a lot of it.
Yeah.
But Game of Thrones is cool.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of people who... What season is it? Is it on now?
It's up to... they're going into six now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm... But we ain't going to talk about that. You know, I'm a conversationalist. They know. They know where I stand on it.
On Game of Thrones? Is that like your favorite show?
No, it's just what I'm binging right now.
Okay.
I'm all caught up. I just finished, I guess this weekend, I just finished.
I'm looking forward to a few things. The show Vinyl. I think Mick Jagger.
Yeah, Vinyl and then The Breaks.
Yeah, the I didn't watch The Breaks.
Did it come out yet?
Yeah, it was like a movie. I don't think it was the Get Down.
The Get Down.
Yeah, that's the one I told you I was.
The Netflix joint.
Yeah.
Oh, you was casting on that.
Yeah.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, L. Clay used to be
a casting
person.
Oh, yes. Background casting.
Background casting.
Mm-hmm.
And The Breaks was one of her projects.
The Get Down.
The Get Down.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, The Get Down. Talking about the Bronx.
So, when is that coming?
Soon, I think. I'm not quite sure about like the specific air date, but I know I've seen the trailer, so it's coming out soon for sure. I'm excited about Orange Is the New Black coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan, but I'm not really. I've been watching like documentaries and stuff lately. I'm like in that mode.
True.
I just watched the Misty Copeland. You should let your daughter watch that if she hasn't already. A Ballerina's Tale.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Nelson George.
Yeah, shout out to Misty Copeland.
Shout out to Misty.
So I watched that came on. I think PBS aired it last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Black Panther documentary that we saw at that time is airing on PBS this month too.
Yeah, that was good. That was enlightening.
Yeah, but
so y'all should go check that out. 50th anniversary of the Black Panthers. Beyonce done put it on the map. So mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Go hit your PBS.
For sure.
Check out the documentary so you could get yourself caught up mm-hmm. on a good you know, Huey P. and Stokely and all of them. You know what I mean?
Bobby Seale, he's still alive. People don't really talk about Bobby Seale, but Bobby Seale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not really any series I'm super excited about right now.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Money and Violence to come back.
I never watched an episode.
That's.
Do you watch Power?
Power, yes. Power, that was a date night scenario for me and my wife. Saturday. It came out on Saturday, so Friday night, 12 o'clock, you could watch it on the stream.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll watch Power on the stream. So that's going to be good when that comes back, but I think that's this summer.
Oh, okay.
So we had the Thursday night shows. That was her shows, like Scandal and all that. And then we adopted Power.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else we got? We did the Game of Thrones together.
Yeah. I like Survivor's Remorse. You know that show?
My wife was watching it. I never caught it because it was always at odd times when she was watching it. So I never really caught
up on it. I really liked Survivor's Remorse. It's LeBron James produced a show
mm-hmm.
on, for those who don't know, I guess on Stars.
I saw a couple of the episodes that was funny, Mike Epps. And,
yeah, because you know Tashina Arnold on it as well. But it's like giving you kind of like, because they're from Boston, so I think Entourage. But it's like Entourage with a black family.
They in Boston?
They're from Boston.
Oh, the family is from Boston, but they're in Atlanta.
Yeah, but they're in Atlanta.
Nice.
So it's a good show. It's about a basketball player who comes up and moves his whole family from Boston to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I like that show a lot.
So. Oh, Atlanta. Oh, Cam from Atlanta.
Oh, Cam. I pray for Cam. And I'm an Alabama fan. So talking
about
Cam.
You're not an Auburn fan?
Absolutely. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Okay. But I understand why people like Auburn. But I did send a prayer for Cam.
What was your prayer for Cam?
I don't know. Just that he didn't like dab himself to death or something. Like after the game, just like just go keep dabbing. Like, you know, like Jesse Spano, I'm so excited. And like he was like miserable and like drinking, I don't know, Powerade or whatever. And like just keep dabbing until he passed out or died.
He'll be fine. I mean, you know, son, the young man, you know, I mean, it's difficult to have a season like that. You know what I'm saying? You go through, you know, you kicking ass all season.
Yeah.
You come down to the, you know, the big game and it don't go your way.
Yeah.
None of the way it goes your way.
I mean, nothing went his
not,
way.
Not none of it.
Not a damn thing.
And shit, that has to be upsetting. And I'm sure there's a lot of shit that Cam want to say that he can't say. He's like, my motherfucking offensive line fell down. Where the fuck was they?
See,
my motherfucking receivers weren't catching a goddamn ball. Where was they?
That's why his wife needed to do like Giselle did that time.
Just throw the shots.
Yo, Giselle is a ride or die. She was like, my motherfucking husband can't throw the ball and catch it too. Giselle was not playing about Tom Brady.
But see, he ain't got no wife.
He do. He got a woman.
He got a baby mama.
Whatever.
They together?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know what I'm saying? Shit. He can't say the shit he want to say.
I mean, he's saying whatever he want to say. You saw the follow-up.
He ain't like, saying what he want.
He said, I ain't going to be who y'all want me to be. I'm going to do my own thing. He said, you show me a sore loser, a happy loser. I'm going to show you a loser.
No, he said I'm a documented sore loser.
Sore loser, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Any winner is a sore loser. If you show me a loser that's happy to lose, I'm gonna show you a loser.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel him, you know what I'm saying? They set him up, you know what I'm saying? They put his little post game interview in the same room with the, you know, with Denver's post game interviews. That never happens.
Yeah. And so, then the Denver defense was like talking shit like right behind him, right?
Yeah. So, like, he like, man, fuck this, man. He know the drill. He like,
yeah.
This how y'all gonna do me?
I'm out.
Fuck this shit.
I mean, but you know, you got a big mouth when you win and you need to say something when you lose, you know? And yeah. But I also, I didn't know that he answered. All I knew was that he walked away. Right. I didn't know that he had answered some questions.
Yeah, he answered questions. He sat there. It was like a lull in the excitement when he was sitting there listening to the other dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So at that point, it wasn't an active questioning going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, when Peyton Manning storm off the field, when he lose, nobody don't say shit. But, you know, that's just the nature of the game.
When Peyton Manning kisses Papa John.
but goddamn, Eli Manning ain't look too happy about all this shit.
Oh, you saw that shit? But no. Because Eli, they asked him about it, and he said, "I was thinking."
Thinking what?
Because there's a, if you, I guess they had converted to something, the first down or the whatever the play was, because I didn't really watch the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. If you see, it's him standing by his father, Archie, and they said they were the only two who didn't react because they knew that it was more to it than the excitement everybody else was feeling. Like they knew. So Eli said he was thinking. And then
I didn't see Archie.
His dad is right beside him. And as soon as he reacted, he looked at his dad and started talking like, you know, he's not out of the clear yet is what he said he was thinking.
Right.
Well, but it looked like he was hating like shit. Like, I don't want this motherfucker to get one more ring because then he gonna be like me.
This motherfucker, now he gonna come reclaim his spot at his the Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, you never know, because I feel like the Giants too is always low key a fluke anyway. So Eli probably got, he probably gonna retire with like, he got a chance to get three more rings, knowing them. They always pulling a rabbit out of the hat with the Giants.
Oh, man. That shit was funny, though.
But it did look like utter hate. Like, fuck. Daddy said, I was the best brother. I was the best son. Hey,
no matter what he was thinking, the internet ain't going to let that shit slide at all.
Absolutely not. Because the bombardment of Jordan crying faces on cam, dabbing.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't see that.
Listen,
I didn't see the Jordan dab face.
The Jordan crying face on a whole team photo is,
oh man,
is what dreams are made of. They put his crying face on it. They put his crying face on the kid in the stands that he gives the football to. Like, and then his rep came out and said he doesn't mind the crying face. Of course he doesn't.
I mean, no, because you know he's so. Into himself anyway, like they using me. I'm the motherfucking face of all of this.
I'm the
shit.
Face of sadness. I'm the face of disappointment.
I'm the face of all of it.
I'm the face of
buy my shoes.
Buy my shoes. The best one though. It's like, and people, the internet, oh Lord. They're able to Photoshop it so well that it just like is seamless onto this child receiving the football. And it's like, it seems on like within Cam's helmet, you see the crying face.
Oh man.
It's so good. Steph Curry posted the one where, like, you know, he beats the drum, keep right. pounding. There's a crying face on the drum.
Oh man, I'm looking at this shit now. They got Cam. They got the crying face when he do the Superman shirt thing. Yeah, they got the crying face inside of
it. Where the Superman goes.
Oh man!
I mean, people should get jobs from creating this stuff.
That is terrible. Yeah, it was, you know, it was sad, man. You know, but you know, you can't get it all. Goddamn, you had Beyonce Super Bowl.
It couldn't be. That would have been the blackest week ever. You could have told us nothing this week.
You know what I'm saying? It would have been a problem. It would have been a fucking mutiny.
I would have quit my job on Monday. I'd have been, fuck you.
And fuck this shit.
Dab on the way out.
Dabbed all the way out.
Get in formation and like leave.
Yeah, y'all can't have it all, goddamn.
No.
You know what I'm saying? You got to get a little bit at a time.
During Black History Month, on the 50th anniversary of the Panthers.
And, you know, they was playing Denver. You know what I'm saying? Cam Newton versus Manning. It was the same as fucking Vic versus John Elway. That was John Elway.
Yeah, that was the Dirty Birds.
The Dirty Birds, John Elway retirement was against Vic.
Yeah, look at that.
You know what I'm saying? It was the Dirty Birds.
I remember.
Denver in Miami. Super Bowl, that was his retirement. He won the retirement. You know, they go out smooth, man. A lot smooth.
And I'm not so sad. I mean, of course I wanted Cam to win. But, you know, Peyton, they threw Peyton under the bus all season. He's trash. He's washed. It's a wrap for him. So I think for him to come back and do it was...
So that was a good feel-good story.
Yeah, but it would have been more feel-good for...
For the blacks.
For a future to, like, come out of the sky with, like, a... For future to, like, come on the field.
Descend
on the field in, like, a parachute. And basically,
and a
like...
double cup.
I think they would have revived Freaknik for that. We would have Freaknik if Cam would have pulled it through. Atlanta would... I would have...
Freaknik would have been back in full effect.
Full effect.
Oh, man.
Future need to put that billboard, like, on with the So-So Def billboard used to be.
Future got enough problems right now. Future ain't thinking about no billboard. He got some court shit he need to be dealing with.
Oh, Future.
Ciara is suing Future.
$15 million.
For $15 million.
For defamation of the characters.
For talking slick on the Twitters. Twitter fingers turned to motherfucking empty bank accounts.
Listen, and she don't need no money because Russell gonna give it all up.
But it's the point. It's the point. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of, you know what I'm saying, she represents the baby mamas. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I deal with this every day. I wake up, I change the Pampers, I cook the meals, I take the daycare. You know what I'm saying? Then you had the motherfucking nerve to get on the motherfucking Twitter box.
The audacity
to get on the Twitter box and talk about me.
After I have, like, joined in this sisterhood of traveling dick. Like, because he...
What?
She did.
What's
you saw
that?
The photo,
what the fuck is that?
The photo of her with his baby mamas. It's the sisterhood of traveling dick. Because he got, like, 5 baby mamas, 4 baby mamas. And she's been photographed.
So the sisterhood of traveling dick is all of Future's baby mamas.
That's
what you call it.
I just came up with that. But it's a photo of them. Ciara's like, you know, it's only so much shit I can take.
Right.
You know, I don't know why she accepted him in the first place. I guess because you think because you got a famous pussy, it's different than a regular pussy.
I think they was trying to do
a JMB like
the JB Atlanta version, the Love and Hip Hop version of JMB.
Well, it didn't go, and then she went all the way and got her a promise ring given, bring home to your daddy.
Mm-hmm. Curly head without the Jerry.
Youth pastor in the making. Good Lord. He is so sweet.
Uncle Deacon.
Hey, baby. I can't wait till Baby Future start talking. I think, with your punk ass. My daddy told me to call you punk ass. You know it's going to like be some drama. But where you see it really play out is like on Twitter. And it's like, you know, women take very strong stance of like, you know, Ciara put up with a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you ain't gonna, because he put out a mixtape every day and every day hearing like a whole mixtape about how you ain't shit and how you didn't tolerate my drug use is like, a bitch can only take so much.
Right. And I think, you know what I'm saying, you know, it's a little sensitive to give. You had to really be in your little feelings to get on the Twitter and talk that talk about your folk. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. You a grown ass man. Handle that, man.
Yeah, well, it's not even just that it's on Twitter. His music is about her.
Music, your art is inspired by life. But
maybe one album. Robin Thicke.
I can't even understand what he's saying. So.
Robin Thicke made one album called Paula. That's it. Kanye made, you know.
Marvin Gaye made Hear My Dear.
Yeah, but it's
that
like,
was his divorce settlement.
But Marvin Gaye didn't come out with a new mixtape every week for like 2 years and throw you under the bus with every song. It's like, okay, enough is enough.
Well, then there's that.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? You know, you got to be in your feelings to be doing all that, man. You know, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? I done been in my feelings, you know what I'm saying, having a suck attack and shit. But he having a big suck attack all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, but you got to keep that shit. You got to keep that shit within your own realm. You know what I'm saying? Talk that shit to yourself in the mirror. Man, fuck this motherfucker. Man, he's talking this bullshit.
Yeah.
Then you got to go handle business. You know what I'm saying? Get your shit straight.
Yeah, because I think she, especially, you know, she's on a mission to kind of, you know, make herself super wholesome.
I mean, evolve. She's trying to grow up. I mean, she's growing up. She's becoming a grown-ass woman.
Yeah, she's a grown-ass woman. She's a mother. Yeah. She is a, she's with this, they chose to be abstinent or whatever they're talking about this week. They have a very public, loving relationship that's the total opposite of showing their ass and sleeping with each other and like all the kind of like, you know, they're giving people another image of black love.
You ever been in that kind of relationship?
What, public?
No, abstinent.
No. When I was 10, I was abstinent. My first boyfriend. No, I mean, because I don't know. It's just funny. You know, I come from a religious family. And mm-hmm. people like, oh, wait, you know, my grandmother, well, you know, are you sleeping with your... It's like, you had a baby when you was 18. Don't tell me how to live my life at 30. So, you know, have sex and repent and go on. And go on.
Sorry about that.
No, but it's like, you know, I think if you're responsible and you're honest with one another. But I also don't condemn people who are abstaining from sexual relations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but.
I've been in a relationship like that.
Well, she wasn't trying to give it up.
Well, she wasn't trying to give it up. And, you know what I'm saying, we was abstinent and all that shit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How long did that last?
About a year.
Mm.
It was tough, but I learned a lot. You know what I'm saying? I learned a lot about myself, one.
Endurance.
You know what I'm saying? Not just endurance. It's just, you know what I'm saying? You just learn how to do different shit to get, like, sometimes, like, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker ain't going to give you none, but you could do all the other kind of shit. Every other kind of little thing is going on. You know what I'm saying? So you learn how to be as effective in other ways as you was in your, you know what I'm saying, laying it down ways. You know what I'm saying? So you learn a few tricks of the trade just by, you know what I'm saying, we ain't got to, you know what I'm saying? And once I learned my little tricks and I felt like I could be effective in the situation, then it was cool because now I could like, shit, I know I could whoop, whoop, whoop and a whoop, whoop, whoop and it's going, you know what I mean?
Okay, Ali just looked like a DJ over here with the hand movements over here. You know what I'm saying? Like he was on turntables.
It was like it's like being a DJ. You know what I'm saying? You gotta get your mix together.
Gotta get your mix, your midday mix.
I was just gonna say DJ Algorithm.
Algorithm. You know what I'm saying? You got your rhythm right in your, you know what I'm saying? But it was cool because, you know, I come from a real, you know what I'm saying, playerific type of background, right?
You're like the third, fourth generation player.
Fourth generation, lay it down, dog, type of situation. So I ain't really never really learned a lot of, you know what I'm saying, cordials or, you know what I'm saying, like, I didn't learn from polite society.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I learned from a very, you know, different kind of way. And in dealing with this situation, I had never been in a situation like that. So I was able to learn how to move in a different realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Which set me up, you know, basically for being who I am and handling my family situation the way I do is because, you know, in that situation, it's a lot of fucking thinking. When you ain't fucking,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
It's a lot of communicating and fucking thinking.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? You learn a lot about yourself in that. And you know, now I could use a lot of what I learned in a real situation because that one ain't work out.
As a father to a daughter, are there like how are you gonna go about like
we ain't finna be talking about my daughter and all that shit like
no I'm saying like I know what but I'm saying she's like how do you feel about putting your daughter onto game like approaching like you know have you decided on how you gonna school her to these?
Well, I mean, in every situation that you come about, you know, it's filtered through how will I teach my daughter
mm-hmm.
to handle this situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, every situation, like anything that come up, you filtering it. You know what I'm saying? Anything that you think she might see or might hear or a motherfucking songs on the radio, you know what I'm saying? Any of that, you filtering it. But right now, she's 7.
Yeah. So you just let her be 7.
Yeah, I'm letting her be fucking 7. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I'm definitely about the game. I'm about pulling the coat. You know what I'm saying, baby? You come from a long line of playerific players.
You finna get schooled to this.
You got to know.
Yeah, because I had a guy ask me one time, one of my guy friends. He's like, how do I, his daughter was like four. Mm-hmm. He's like, how do I keep my daughter from being a hoe? He like straight up asked me that. And then I had to think. I was like, well, what is really being a hoe? What is a hoe? Mm. And then like, how did, I guess, my mama keep me from being a hoe? If that was a thing.
Hoe tip.
Because my mama just broke it down to me. You know, my mom was a single mom, as mm-hmm. you all heard on Single Mom. Single mama's boyfriend. So she just was like, listen, she's, you know, the first time you have sex, it's going to hurt because he don't know what he's doing. So just think about that. And also think about the fact that he probably trying to have sex with a lot of other little girls. Mm. She just kept it real funky with me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, oh, if you sleep with this many guys or all this kind of thing, you know. It was like, you have some sense. It's your body. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get any kind of, you know, power from giving your body to men or to other people.
Right.
Because it's yours. She just kind of kept it funky. So I was like, I guess that's how you do it from being a hoe. I mean, that's a thing.
I'm taking notes, but you know what I'm saying? I got a long list of notes of shit that I want to impart. And then, you know what I'm saying, you hear some shit along the way sometimes that really, like, shake the way you think. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Again, like, what is a hoe? Like, shit, when we was growing up, if you fucked anybody but us, you was a hoe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. If you was, meanwhile, you can put your dick in anything.
And, right. If you was doing it, like, ah, man, she did it with such and such. She ruined.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, terrible. You know, I had this neighbor. He was a dude who lived right behind me. He was a little older than me. And he had a girlfriend. And they was doing it like grown people, like married people every day. And I had to think, like, does that make her a hoe? But then I was like, nah, because, you know, it's just him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But there's a lot to think about because, like, first of all, y'all ain't supposed to be doing it that much. Mm-hmm. Y'all are fucking every day.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think that's what, you know, people are, we have to redefine what we think, like, what is a hoe? Because also, too, it's like this whole weird fascination of men, especially being obsessed with women's, their reproductive organs in general, but like men,
yeah,
men owning their daughter's sexuality.
Well, men just don't be wanting nobody else to own it. Like, nigga, this is pure flower. You know what I'm saying? Keep your little raggedy ass over there.
Yeah, but then it's also this kind of like, you know, this girl on her wedding day presented her father with a certificate from her gynecologist that stated her hymen was intact.
That's some bullshit.
So
what kind of people was these?
Black people.
What kind of black people?
Regular, like,
from where?
Negroes. American black people. I think they were, like, you know, on the elitist side.
Oh, I was about to say, because black regular elite. Black people don't.
No, but so it's like that kind of fascination of, I'm, you know, I salute to you, daddy. I pledge to you that I'll be a virgin and I'll be pure. That stuff is creepy to me.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, sometimes you come across the virgins and, you know, they be doing all kind of whole shit. Other than, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know? Okay, so you didn't let him hit it.
You didn't let him hit that box.
But you did give a 1,000 blowjobs.
You know what I'm saying? But you know, you sucked everything, and then you had two boyfriends on here. Come on, man.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, that whole idea is a little, eh.
Well, on that note, I think it's about time we transform and roll out.
Oh.
So, L. Clay, tell him where you're going to be.
I'm going to be in New York City. No, you guys can check me out at my website, lclay.com.
Man, put them on to the snap.
I am, because all that redirects.
Okay.
Goodness.
Oh, shit. My bad.
lclay.com, L like the magazine, Clay like Cassius. You could also follow me on Snapchat at L_Clay to see my daily happenings. And yeah, at Southern L on Instagram.
That should be turned up.
It's lit.
Verb. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be in BK. You know what I'm saying? Getting it down. Y'all can follow me on the Snap. Y'all know where I'm at. Thorough TV. Thorotv. You know what I'm saying?
That.
And until the next time, tell a friend to tell a friend and even an enemy to get in the conversation. Holla.